Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and on this edition of the show, Nick Gilbert Way is officially open. Dustin Stoltzman, Director of Experience for Bedrock, says this is a new public plaza connecting Woodward Avenue to Farmer Street, and the outdoor space that sits between the Hudson's Block building and Hudson's Tower. He'll kick off the show to tell us more about it. The second annual Winter at the Station is underway. Catherine Kelly will stop by from Michigan Central to tell us all about it. And there's a new company in Southwest Detroit that wants to make shopping and shipping easier for Canadians. It's called Postal Total. Miles Hamby, the owner, will explain how this works. And the Detroit Urban Craft Fair will be back in early December to help make your holiday shopping easier. Carrie Gustafson, the founder of Handmade Detroit, will have the details. A great show about what's happening in and around the D right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. Nick Gilbert Way is officially open in Detroit, so we kick off today's show with Dustin Stoltzman. He is the Director of Experience for Bedrock. Thank you for joining us today, Dustin. First of all, I want you to just tell our listeners, what exactly is Nick Gilbert Way?
Yeah, well, thanks, first of all, Ann, for the conversation today. I appreciate that. Nick Gilbert Way is a new public plaza that actually debuted last Thursday at Hudson's Detroit, and it is complete with festive decor, lighting, and retail activations, adding a bold new layer of excitement to the city's holiday experience. And it's intentionally designed to be a place to pause and participate. It's a connection between Woodward Avenue and Farmer Street that really invites people to gather, explore, and experience downtown in a whole new way while honoring the life and legacy of Nick Gilbert, the late son of Dan and Jen Gilbert.
So, Dustin, when we visit Nick Gilbert Way, what are some of the experiences that we can have there?
Yeah, so there are a lot of things for people to experience there this holiday season. Everything from local vendors and shopping opportunities. There's live entertainment, food, art, also a lot of nostalgia. We, you know, recognize that a lot of people have, you know, a lot of memories of the JL Hudson's department store, and there's a lot of different nods and paying homage to some of those holiday experiences as well. So a little bit of something for everybody, and happy to kind of dive in a little further even with that.
Yeah, please do. You know, I have a big heart for this because when I was a little girl, we always went to Hudson's around the holidays, and just, you know, the window displays and the food and the festivities, it was just a wonderful experience. And I know lots of other people in this area who grew up when I did have the same feeling. So elaborate on exactly what we'll find. We will even have the opportunity to take a look at some of the window displays.
Yes, so that is correct. That is actually kind of the first thing that you'll notice as you're heading to Nick Gilbert Way is the Hudson's Block does have those nostalgic window displays. So we've worked with the Detroit Historical Society as well as Design Corps for window displays on Woodward, and GM, which of course is moving their world headquarters to Hudson's. They also have a window display there as well. So that, to your point, is something that we really wanted to bring back and, you know, have people who previously experienced that magic back in the day be able to, you know, have that experience, but also just creating that, you know, tradition for a new generation. And then, you know, once you walk into Nick Gilbert Way, the first thing that you see also is this, you know, larger than life bear, which of course is a installation that we put in, you know, as a nod to the Santa bear that used to be such a staple at the Hudson's department store. And kind of just speaking to that bear piece as well, we actually have a hut that will be selling the bear at Hudson's, which is our modern take on this classic holiday tradition as well. So one of the, you know, many shopping opportunities there. But, you know, throughout Nick Gilbert Way, you'll be able to see GM has a car display, both a modern and a vintage car for people to take pictures with and you know, again, get to, you know, relive that nostalgia, but also kind of looking ahead at the innovation and future of Hudson's and GM. There's also a food and beverage truck, our coffee truck called Une des Trois, which is operated by Café Souterre, which is a local cafe in downtown Detroit. We're also working with Post Detroit, who also has a hut in Nick Gilbert Way selling different holiday items and personalization for those items. But, you know, in addition, we've got a lot of small businesses popping up with vendor carts. As mentioned, we've, you know, got musical performances throughout the season. There's, you know, a letter writing opportunity and mailbox for Santa. Mrs. Claus and her team will be making some appearances throughout the season, but really just a magical place for people to, you know, bring their families, you know, just explore this, you know, new tradition of Hudson's Detroit.
Dustin Stoltzman is who we are talking to here on Opportunity Detroit today. He's the Director of Experience for Bedrock. And Dustin, I got to tell you, you have come up with quite the experience here. The Bear at Hudson's, I just love it. So proceeds from the Hudson's Bear will be donated to a couple of different places. Talk about that, too.
Yeah, so one of the things that, you know, we were really thoughtful about as we were, you know, considering the homage to Nick Gilbert is making sure that we have a component tied into the sales of the bear. So $5 from every bear sold, the proceeds will go to the Gilly Project. And so we're really proud to be able to, you know, be a part of that this holiday season.
Talk a little bit about Nick, because one of the really cool things about this experience, the Nick Gilbert Way, is that it kind of represents what a fun-loving, great guy he was.
Yeah, and I think his love of Detroit. And yes, that's something that, you know, this was obviously a large collaboration with, you know, many, many people within our organization. But that was something that at the heart of this project we really wanted to honor, was just that love for Detroit, and to your point, you know, that positive spirit, you know, that it evoked. And yeah, it's just one of many ways that we really wanted to, you know, pay tribute to him and his vision for the future of Detroit as well.
Talk to Dustin a little bit more about the flag at Hudson's.
Yeah.
That's cool too.
Yeah. So on Thursday last week, we did reintroduce the flag on the Woodward side of Hudson's. And again, really just paying tribute to the flag that used to be on the Hudson's facade many years ago. I think it maybe has been since 1976 was the last time that it was displayed. But at the time, it was the largest flag in the world. And so this was just a nod for us to be able to represent that. And we, you know, are expecting to be able to bring that back yet this holiday season for another display.
You know, one thing I didn't realize was that this flag first appeared on the side of the J.L. Hudson department store in 1923. That's interesting.
Yes.
Really interesting.
I know.
And
yeah,
it spans 141 by 85 feet. That's kind of interesting, too. It's going to decorate the building until the end of the month, correct?
Yes, of course, you know, we'll have to continue to make some modification as, you know, we monitor
yes,
the inclement weather. And, you know, we already had a surprise snow and some things that, you know, we'll have to continue to evaluate. But yes, our anticipation is to have that flag back up on the building yet this season.
Now talk a little bit about the hours, holiday programming and events on Nick Gilbert Way. It's already open and it's going to be open until January 4th. So that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, the space is open itself, so visitors can enjoy that anytime, you know, and get to see the installations and holiday decor. But as far as specific programming hours, we are open on Thursdays and Fridays from 4 until 8, and then on Saturday from 12 to 8, and Sunday from 12 to 6. We also do have the Un des Trois, the coffee truck there, which is open 7 days a week, so people can enjoy that, though. And of course, once we get a little bit further into the holiday season, we'll be extending those holiday hours to be open 7 days a week as well.
Dustin Stoltzman, Director of Experience for Bedrock, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate you talking about this great thing, the Nick Gilbert Way. We just love it.
Yeah, we're very excited. And again, I think people are excited to see it and ready to experience these new things and make new memories.
Absolutely. So much fun. Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, Michigan Central is another great place to visit during the holidays. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. We now check in with Catherine Kelly. Catherine is the head of communications at Michigan Central, and she's here today to talk about the second annual Winter at the Station. Catherine, welcome into Opportunity Detroit.
Thanks so much, and thank you for having us.
So talk a little bit about Winter at the Station. What is this going to be like?
Winter is a really fun time for us. We kicked off last year's Winter at the Station in the middle of November. It was our first winter after the restoration. But this year, winter is quickly becoming like an annual event for us. It's definitely a place for community. There'll be a lot of decor, some really fun food and beverage offerings, music. Most days are free and open to the public. But we do have a couple kind of elevated music moments where you can buy tickets and bring your family.
So what are some of those moments? Talk a little bit about the music moments.
We have Urban Art Orchestra, which helped curate our music for winter last year, but they will be here December 19th, and they are always a crowd favorite. So I would get my tickets to that sooner rather than later.
So let's talk too about some of the shops. It seems to me like this would be a really good place to go to find unique gifts for the people on your holiday list.
This year is going to be a little different than last year. If you remember, a couple of months ago, we announced the partnership with Nomad Detroit, the hotel that is coming into Michigan Central. So we are currently, a part of our building is under construction. Mm-hmm. So the open archive and bazaar concept that we rolled out last year, we won't be able to do this year just because of construction. We're doing a smaller footprint market moment during it's the weekend after Thanksgiving. So Small Business Saturday, we will have a smaller winter market. Also, Taylor, who is our retail director here, has done a lot of thinking about the assortment of gifts in the shop. So I would look at the station as a really great place for your gifting options. There'll be books, there'll be games, and some other really kind of unique pieces that have been kind of curated for the season.
What about some of the locally made food and beverages that we could enjoy while visiting Michigan Central during the holidays?
We have a really activated food and beverage menu. For our opening weekend, we will have a tea and cookie cart out front, which will be really nice. We'll have a hot chocolate. We have some, some kind of nut and popcorn options as well. It's a kind of a fun concession plan for winter.
It seems to me that this would be a great thing to do if you haven't been to Michigan Central, and it would be a really nice time to be able to kind of get in there and take a look around and see how beautiful it is.
We find that a lot of people come to the station and return to the station, not just to see the restoration, but because the place is still so important to so many families here. You know, my own grandmother came through Michigan Central. Mm. You know, I think especially for the holidays, which is always such an emotionally resonant time, the, you know, coming back for winter, being able to kind of sit for the afternoon, have a cocktail, do something, you know, have some activities for your kids. You know, our intention here is to kind of make a really comfortable space for Detroiters to visit for the holidays.
We are talking to Catherine Kelly here on Opportunity Detroit. She's the head of communications at Michigan Central. You know, Catherine, it seems like every time we turn around, you have another really cool announcement about things coming into Michigan Central. I mean, you're pretty busy, and things have really developed since Michigan Central opened more than a year ago.
Yes, we have a lot. We have a lot going on, and probably more coming in 26.
Oh, wow.
I think what a lot of people, you know, we had such a grand opening. Sometimes people forget we're still, you know, we're still in soft opening mode.
Right, kind of new still.
Right, right. So we are building slowly, but, you know, finding these moments where we can really bring people in and show them a good time. I think we have a pretty fun and special activation plan for the South Concourse, some kind of screen activities for kids. There's also some film screenings, also, you know, something fun to do during the holidays. Again, you know, we thought about, you know, how do we open the building up to the public, make it comfortable for people to come and find something to do for any price point.
And it seems to me that this is a great family activity. This isn't just an activity for adults. You can bring the whole family during the holidays.
Absolutely. I think those Saturday and Sunday afternoons, we've thought a lot about, and again, those are free and open to the public. They aren't ticketed. Just, you know, how do normal everyday families come to the station and find something to do where the parents are happy and the kids are satisfied?
Catherine Kelly, Head of Communications at Michigan Central, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ann.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, an interesting business in Southwest Detroit that makes shopping easier for Canadians. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit, brought to you by Rocket. I'm Ann Thomas, and we now say hello to Miles Hamby. He is the co-owner of Postal Total. He's the co-owner along with his wife, Lindsay. Miles, welcome into Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Postal Total.
Yes. So Postal Total, we're an independent full-service pack and ship company located in Southwest Detroit. We are authorized retailers with FedEx, DHL, UPS, and the post office, and also do U-Haul rentals, and we rent mailboxes as well.
How long have you been around?
We've just opened in July of 2025, so just a few months.
Oh, that's awesome. And what made you decide to open Postal Total in Southwest Detroit, Miles?
Well, we looked in... We wanted to open this business in Detroit, and when we looked at Southwest Detroit and saw the density of the people that live there, as well as a gap in these services, and thought that this would be a good location, and also knowing that there's a lot of folks there that do domestic and international shipping, and wanted to be able to be in that community and provide this service to them.
How's it going so far?
It is going well. We have had a steady increase in customers. More people are finding out about us every week. And so, yeah, we're really hoping to do a big splash this holiday season as a lot more people look for shipping stores in this time of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, it sounds to me like business is going to be pretty good during the upcoming holiday season. Talk a little bit about how you are making it easier for Windsor residents to actually do some of their shipping.
Yes. So a lot of folks in Windsor, they may have to pay more for shipping because they sometimes shipping rates are higher going to, into Canada. And also, maybe some companies don't even ship to Canada. And so we provide a mailbox address that folks in Windsor can ship to. We can hold that package for them. And then when they can come across the border and pick up that package. And so this is actually a very common thing that I've learned that a lot of people in Windsor do. A lot of people in Windsor work in Detroit. And so it's a convenient way for them to do their shopping where they can ship to an address in Detroit and be able to have it safely and securely held for them until they're ready to pick it up.
And it seems to me that your location is perfect because you're located just about a mile and a half from the Ambassador Bridge and 2.5 miles from the Gordie Howe Bridge. So that is really important for people to know, too.
Absolutely, yes. We are right off West Verner, 3 blocks west of Clark Park, right in between the bridges. And so you can get to our store from the exit of the bridge in about 5 to 10 minutes by vehicle.
And what about pricing? Talk a little bit about these mailboxes. Are they expensive or relatively cheap for people to be able to use?
We think we've priced them pretty with an approachable price. So you can, our mailboxes start at $22 a month. And you can have mail shipped there and packages. And the way that we're different than just getting a P.O. box from the post office is that we can receive packages from any of the carriers for you. So if you are ordering off Amazon or your other favorite retailer, online retailer, we can do that. And you can have that shipped to our address with our mailboxes. So our prices start at $22, and then we have other options at $28 and then $34, depending on the size of the mailbox you need and how many packages you're expecting to receive in a 1 month of time.
We're talking to Miles Hamby. He is the co-owner, along with his wife, Lindsay, of Postal Total. They just opened in July in Southwest Detroit. How did you and Lindsay get into this business, Miles?
Yeah, it's funny to ask. My background is in real estate development, and so it kind of seemed a little random to go, oh, why are you opening a shipping business? We were just looking for other business opportunities and came across this concept that it just seems like an actual need. It's not a trendy, flashy business fad that is going to come and go, but everyone needs to ship stuff. And so we thought, okay, this could be a good opportunity to get into this industry. And as we thought about where to locate, another thing about Southwest Detroit is being able to provide a way for people to ship packages to their family in Latin America, as there's a lot of Latinos that live in an immigrant community in Southwest Detroit. And we actually just are offering a new service starting in the next week or two where we have a more economical option to be able to ship packages to Latin America.
And how will that service work? How do you make it more economical?
We're just using a different carrier, and that then kind of wholesale ship or freight ship packages to Latin America, which brings the cost down as opposed to the shipping an individual package down there. But the way that someone does it, it's very simple. We take care of all the logistics. All you got to do is bring in what you want to ship, and we have boxes, we have tape. We'll take care of the label. We can take care of all that for you. And we can even compare pricing. So if something needs to get there fast and you want that to be, and you need a signature and you want FedEx or UPS, we could do that. If you're more price sensitive, you can ship with USPS. So we take care of all that, the price comparison and the logistics, the boxing, the packing. We can do all that for you.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Miles, you say that you and Lindsay saw a need in the area. That's how a lot of really good businesses get started. People see a need and they do something about it.
Exactly. that was kind of our attitude and our perspective. So,
yeah, that's awesome. What's your background? Where are you from? Are you from the area?
I've lived in Detroit for, 13 years now. There's no other city like it. That's for sure. It's a very unique city in America, but we love living there.
And where do you live? Do you have a spot that you like in particular in the city?
We're on the east side. Probably one of our favorite places to go is to go to Belle Isle. And I have three kids, 4-year-old daughter, 9 and 11-year-old boy. And so going to Belle Isle, taking their bikes, going to the beach is one of our favorite things to do. We also love going to Eastern Market. So I used to work at Eastern Market, and I've worked in the city the whole time I've lived here. So I've come to really love it. It's home.
And you guys are okay coming from the beautiful California weather to the Michigan weather?
Yeah, my wife's actually from Ohio, so she's used to the Midwest weather. I had to get used to it. I didn't have a choice.
Miles Hamby, co-owner, along with his wife, Lindsay, of Postal Total. Thanks for joining us today on Opportunity Detroit. I love this story. You saw an opportunity and you ran with it. And it sounds to me like this is going to be a great business in Southwest Detroit.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you taking the time to have me on your show.
It's our pleasure. All the best. Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, the Detroit Urban Craft Fair is a great place to find unique gifts for the holidays. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and we now say hello to Carrie Gustafson. Carrie is the founder of Handmade Detroit. She's here to remind us that the Detroit Urban Craft Fair is just around the corner. Carrie, welcome into Opportunity Detroit.
Hi, Ann. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Let's start out and first of all talk about the Detroit Urban Craft Fair. Tell our listeners about this fair. It's been around for 20 years. Wow.
Yeah, it still surprises people, but I guess we've been slightly under the radar. You know, it's been a little snowball throughout the years of gaining attention and new crafters, but we've sustained all of these years. You know, we all were young people running around in the Metro Detroit music community. And as we were building friendships, we also found a path to enjoying handiwork and handcrafted work, and just kind of filling our time working on projects. And as our relationships developed, there was an indie craft boom happening around the country in Chicago and in California. And over time, we thought, well, why don't we give it a try here?
So it takes place December 6th and 7th. It's at the Masonic Temple. And give us a little bit more details about what exactly it looks like.
It's magical. For friends that have come and experienced it, they very quickly turn it into an annual tradition. We set up in one big room. We're in the drill hall, and okay, it's easy to find us when you get to the building. And there's about 108 makers and then about 10 sponsors that are also makers and sellers. And you walk into this room, and we have a live DJ playing obscure and classic Christmas hits and Motown. And it just creates this really awesome vibe and celebration. And then all of the makers that you see are really honed in on creative, affordable, handcrafted, beautiful things for gifts.
Wow, you've got a lot of makers. What are some of the products we would see while visiting the Detroit Urban Craft Fair?
Oh, sure. Well, it's the holiday season, so a lot of the gifts are, you know, slated towards those classic hostess gifts and small things that you bring to people. But also there's other bigger projects too. A lot of these makers aren't just doing it part-time or just as a hobby, but they've cultivated an actual business out of it. And some that have started out at Detroit Urban Craft Fair went on to have brick and mortars as well. So when shoppers come to see what we have to offer, they can do a ton of shopping with us and not just pick up one or two items.
So you've got an awful lot of creative people in that building over this holiday weekend. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really great. And there's an infectious energy with it, too, because, you know, it's exciting to walk into like a classic mall. But at our show, you're meeting the actual maker. We created this so that there's a one-on-one connection. And yes, it's very busy in the morning and there's different times of day where it's pretty shoulder to shoulder in there. But you're meeting the person that made it. And then when you're buying something from that person, you're keeping your dollars in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm, and you're building a rapport, and maybe you have a new person that you can get your candles from, or maybe you found somebody that makes sweaters that's just your size.
Well, you know, this too, Carrie Gustafson, goes to the whole idea of made in Michigan, buying local. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about your passion for that.
Well, again, mentioning the music community, like nobody really waits for grants or handouts. They might be available, but you just kind of buckle down and do it. And if there's a fire or a passion in you, there's so many people ready to help you out. Detroit's been such a warm and inviting community. And when we started the show, we wanted to have it in the city. We were out running around in the city long before all the major visual restorations started to happen, which is incredible. But we've been enjoying the city and the music community and the arts community and eating and shopping and dining for all these years. And it's so fun to set up a show that reaches out to the people that also enjoy the city as we have, but maybe new people that haven't come down in many years. People travel from out of state. It's really awesome to have such a fun time in Midtown.
Well, you know, I love it. It's really interesting that you point out you have been a big believer in the city for a long time. It must be really exciting for you guys to be seeing this comeback.
Yeah, it is wild. And we're also, you know, we kind of are pivoting with it, too, because when this show started out, you know, people would drive up, park on the street, waltz in. And now it's kind of like we have to, you know, talk to the public and say, hey, get a group of people together. Make sure you come down early. The parking lots are a little bit more expensive than when we first started out. So make a day of it. So, yeah, I mean, that's a joke, but it's obviously been incredible to see year after year. We have this visual heartbeat and footprint of how the show goes and how we load in and how it all comes together. But then now to drive down in the city in the morning and see everything looking so beautiful, it's really fantastic.
The other interesting point, too, Carrie, is that some of these vendors are actually now small business owners. Like, they took their passion and they got into what they love to do. That's a really great story.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Actually, I'm one of those people. I started in stained glass many, many years ago and worked for a couple companies around town. But when that indie craft boom first started launching in the mid-aughts, you know, I was like making ends meet and bartending and making little projects and taking them to the Majestic Theater for like vintage shows. And all of a sudden, like, people started really resonating and reacting to the work. And before you know it, my regular job was taking up more time than my making job. So I went full time in 2013, and this is my 20th year with Glass Action as well. So it's really fun to celebrate my own business blooming in this 20-year time period, and also so many others that people will be able to shop with and celebrate with at the show.
And you also have a co-founder, Bethany Nixon. Talk a little bit about Bethany and her passion for this project.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Beth has been there from the beginning. We had three other people that were there was five gals of us that were the core makers way back when. And Beth and I have kind of stood the test of time, and we've worked together on this. And after all these years, and being at the same place, too, at the Masonic Temple, you know, we do have a little skeletal framework that we can work with year after year, but this show is with us month after month. We speak about it year round, and, you know, we try to come up with new and interesting twists that we can bring to the public to surprise everybody. And same thing with Beth, like the things that she loved and she got excited about when she was a younger maker and music lover. That's skyrocketed for her, and now she has a brick and mortar in Berkeley called Rewear Vintage, which is the flagship store for her vintage line. And, you know, she and I are just always just marvel at the talent and the heart and how hilarious people are. And, you know, we are all just in it. So when we're at that show and people come to see us, it's just a thrill to see all those smiling faces come through the door year after year.
Carrie, what goes into being a successful maker year in and year out? What would you say?
I think originality. You know, our show is juried, and we have hundreds of applicants that come through. And, you know, there are trends, and obviously with social media and Pinterest and all those great places to get inspired, that original idea and concept can start to get muddied over time. But there is still this connection between someone's heart and their passion and, you know, how they say putting in your 10,000 hours, like that applies to the handcraft world as well. And now that I've been making all these many years, I've been able to pivot into teaching because I feel like I'm the best at what I can offer. And there's trends with crafting and with shoppers as well. And stained glass is a big thing right now. So it's exciting to be able to teach that too. But I feel like if there's a trend and everybody's doing it, I don't feel comfortable wanting to turn around and make that to sell. I want to come up with something that's just mine to share with people. And that's a running trend with the applicants that we see that are approved to come.
What would you say to someone in our audience who might be really good at making something? How do they get involved? Should they get involved, or should they be worried about anything? Or what's the best advice for a potential maker in the audience?
That's great. You know, you kind of have to just buckle down and work. And it's, you know, easier said than done. But if you love something, it's something you want to drop everything to do. And that's the heart behind it. And that's going to give you that practice. Now, Detroit Urban Craft Fair is just one show. There's tons of shows out there now. There's shows all around Metro Detroit. There's shows around Michigan, around the country. And not every fit's perfect for everybody. And that's the tricky thing, too, about our show is it sounds like a lot of spaces that we have to fill, but there's so many categories that people are applying for maybe one of five spaces because we're not going to have, you know, 50 jewelers. There's going to be an amount of people that are representing many different types of crafts, like glass and wood and ceramics are huge right now. So we want to keep a nice, broad balance of the very best that we've seen.
That's good advice. Now, give us the hours for the 2025 Detroit Urban Craft Fair. We know it's Saturday, December 6th, and also Sunday, December 7th. It's at the Masonic Temple. The entry fee is $5 at the door. The hours are what, Carrie?
So Saturday, we open at 11, and we go till 7 p.m. And then Sunday, we open again at 11, and the doors will go till 6 o'clock. And it's kind of the same format for that day as well. Lots of crafts from 1 to 5.
Carrie Gustafson, founder of Handmade Detroit, we hope you have a wonderful Detroit Urban Craft Fair this year.
Oh, thank you, Ann, so much. Please come out.
Absolutely. I'm Ann Thomas. Thanks for listening to Opportunity Detroit, and enjoy the rest of your day.